morning, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this Fusion Sunday. It is the last Sunday of the month, and on these Sundays, we have a wonderful worship experience planned for all generations to participate. So there is no Sunday school during worship, and just a few reminders of how we here at GPC are inclusive of all ages, especially with those who are worshiping with young children. Don't forget that the liturgy is very inclusive for even early readers, so make sure they have a bulletin and can follow along with you. Also, the hymnal. Make sure that everyone that you are worshiping with can see and follow along. And this morning we have an opportunity during the prayers of the people to use the interactive prayer stations that are set up around the sanctuary. I know it doesn't show right in your bulletin exactly when we're doing that, but it'll be after the sermon and right before the prayers of the people. I will invite you to go ahead and, during those 10 to 15 minutes, interact with prayer stations. For those who like to plan ahead, they're printed in your bulletin. So it's okay. You can pull them out and look and read about which prayer stations you would like to visit. And of course, as always, you are invited to also just remain in your pews. And you can worship and pray by listening to the music or watching those who are getting up and moving around. A few announcements we have as well. First of all, normally we don't have a second hour program following worship on Fusion Sunday, but we have a very interesting, well, I'll say that because I'm leading it, so it'll be interesting, but very intergenerational. I encourage especially our junior and senior highs to come to this second hour, because I know this YouTube video has gone viral and a lot of folks have seen why I hate religion but love Jesus. And we're going to have a chance to watch the video and also talk about what it means to be a Christian in a very spiritual world today. So I invite all ages down to the adult lounge following worship this morning. And I have two other announcements. Tom?
Good morning. Just a reminder that today will be the last day to buy your flowers for the Mother's Day hanging basket sale, which proceeds go to Guatemala. And speaking about Guatemala, if any of you have ever been interested in perhaps joining us on a trip, we're planning a trip for the summer of 2013. We hope to go up to Randall Shays Village. We hope to do some work in our village of Panacal. And we're also looking at doing some work project type of activities on this one. So if you're interested, we do have a regular meeting. It's going to be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here in the church. You're all welcome to join us and come find out more about what we're doing. Thank you.
Good morning. Next Sunday is the annual crop walk to end world hunger. As always, 75% of the money goes to international projects to end world hunger. 25% of that money stays in Rochester, especially the SWEM walk, which is Southwest Ecumenical Ministries, of which Gates is part, because Southwest Ecumenical Ministries does not end at the city line. I have a very personal reason for walking this year. I've walked many years, but this year the 25% that stays in Rochester will help fund what's called the Friday Morning Backpack Program. So every Friday morning I have 40 children come to my office and they receive a bag of food that will get them through the weekend, because they don't get their free lunches at school. The program has impacted our school tremendously, and SWEM wants to expand that to 4 more schools in the city in the southwest side. And this program also is in five surrounding counties. It's not just a city program. So please come out. If you don't feel like walking, please sponsor me. If you want to join me, please see me after worship, and I'll get you some sponsorship material. Thank you.
Cam, where are you going to be standing so folks can come find you?
I'll be having a cup of coffee.
Wonderful. So if you're interested in more information about the Crop Walk, head on down to the Fellowship Hall after worship, grab your cup of coffee, and talk with Cam. Are there any other announcements this morning? Friends, then let's prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship our holy God.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Wait, isn't Easter over?
Even today, Christ is risen.
So our celebrations continue.
And we praise God for the new life we have together. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amidst the joyful noises of Easter, our alleluias sing, and it makes us even more aware of the times in which we experience brokenness, hurt, pain, suffering, and sin. We bring all of that to God in our time of prayer. God, we admit that we get excited about the joy of the resurrection on Easter, and then forget once the day is over. We go back to everyday life and hide behind our worries and fears, rather than coming into the light of your new life promised to each of us. Forgive us when we move in these shadows, unaware or unwilling to pay attention to how our actions affect others. Help us to be open to your continued presence in our lives. We continue our prayers silently, offering to God the pain. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. The good news is we are called over and over again to come together and experience the resurrection in the presence of Christ. Alleluia. Amen. At this time, the children are invited to come forward. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Well, good morning. Christ is risen. Have you heard that before? Yes. Did you know that in the ancient church, and it's a practice that we continue today, that they would say, instead of hello during the Easter season, they would say, Christ is risen. And the person would respond, Christ is risen indeed. You think you guys can try that? If I say, Christ is risen, you say, Christ is risen indeed. Celebrating the ways that Jesus is still with us today. Can we try one more time? Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Do you think everyone else out there would help us along with this? Do you think? If I say, Christ is risen, everyone says, Christ is risen indeed. And we continue our Easter celebrations this morning as we tell the Easter story again. And we sing Easter songs, and this morning we have a chance to experience the resurrection through prayer stations. So you all are invited to stay in worship. I know you've got wiggles. Have I seen some of those wiggles up here? Yes. I love your wiggles. Moms and dads may not as much, but I love those wiggles because it is the good news of Easter that we proclaim with our whole bodies. Ready? Christ is risen! Christ is risen indeed. Amen. All right, you all can go back to your seats, wiggles and all. Wiggles and all. And we'll listen to the good news of the Easter story together.
I already had one problem,
that is
a sweater problem.
Thank you. Part of the reason I enjoy the wiggles so much is they go back to the other pew. Hallelujah. We tell the Easter story and hear it yet again from the Gospel of John. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said,
"They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him."
Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other cloths, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. And Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels, dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head, and the other at the foot. And the angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she replied,
"They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him."
As soon as she said this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied,
"Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him,
"Teacher?"
Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them that I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples,
"I've seen the Lord." And then she told them what he said to her. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied,
"Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe."
After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand in my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus,
"My Lord and my God."
Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll, but these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life in his name.
Thank you.
Would you believe that I finally took down the 7-foot cross I had decorated in my living room? Usually I get it down a few days after Easter. But I don't know. It just always seems like such a shame to toss it out on the side of the road. You know what I mean? I spend all that time cutting down a fresh cross, decorating it, and then just like that, Easter's over. Out it goes. Though I am, I will admit, glad to be done with all those seasonal hits playing at the mall. The Chipmunks version of Christ the Lord is Risen Today is terrible. All those alleluias get stuck in my head for hours. So the big question I have for you then this morning is, did you happen to score a new car when the dealerships were promoting all those great big empty tomb sales? Discounts on Fords? No. Huh? Well, were you at least ready to be done with all of those parties where you dress up in different characters at the empty tomb? I heard this year someone served up traditional embalming spices as party favors. A little over the top, if you ask me. No? You mean no one's having a Merry Easter tide? No. Huh. Easter doesn't seem to have the same kind of fun that Christmas does it? Compared to Christmas, Easter is actually kind of boring, especially for kids. Am I right? Sure, chocolate bunnies are great, Easter egg hunts are fun, but let's face it, scratchy Easter dresses and the long blah, 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 blah at church. You kids know what I'm talking about. Blah, blah, blah. It seems like something's kind of missing. Where is the fun and the joy, the excitement of Easter? Because when it really comes down to it, there's no Easter, there's no Christianity. And if he didn't rise from the dead, Jesus, that is, Christmas is pretty meaningless too. In our homes and our lives, and really even in a lot of our churches, we can always count on Christmas to be exciting and change a lot of things. But Easter doesn't seem to change a whole lot. One author offers a reflection that starts out a lot like I did this morning in kind of a silly way, to think, to help us, to invite us to think about the astonishing claims that Christians make for Easter, and that we neglect them, and that seems kind of strange. Even to someone who's not a part of the Christian faith. She writes about a friend of hers. His name is Mitch, and he's Jewish. But his encounters with a lot of suffering and pain when he was learning to become a doctor led him to doubt whether there is even a God. Yet last Christmas, he wrote her this note, and it said, "Looking at the Christmas thing from a man raised in a Jewish home, the big celebration in Christianity should be Easter. No Easter, no Christianity. So all this focus on Christmas, at least to me, is misdirected." He continues, "Why Christians don't whoop it up more at Easter is a mystery to me. How inspirational. How joyful. This is the time to toast each other, to lay on gifts and to attend worship services, to pack on all the rich food. Something really substantial and holy to remember. Because if there's no Easter, there's no Christianity. And Mitch has a point. If Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, who cares whether he was born in a manger or at Target? But parents, grandparents, and if you are blessed enough to be a Sunday school teacher here at GPC, I ask you a question. Have you ever tried to explain Easter to kids? Especially really young kids? My little angels are 4 and 6. And this is the first year that they asked a lot of questions about Easter. So I'll we get the kids' Bible. I'm real excited. I'm a pastor, so you know. I get excited. All right. I get it out during Holy Week and Easter. And as I'm reading these stories to them, I find myself pausing, stopping even. Should I read any further? This is a really intense story. In fact, these are the kind of things that kids shouldn't even have to think about. Think about the Easter story and Good Friday. That ache of loneliness that Jesus feels. The pain of losing someone you love that the disciples go through. The hovering fear of meaninglessness, that none of this even mattered as the disciples are locked up in that room after the resurrection appearance. And death itself. These are feelings that my kids are lucky enough to not have experienced in their young life. But then I look in this congregation and I look at kids not much older than mine. And I know that they will feel those experiences because it can happen so quickly, so fast. Someone we love dies. Hurt and pain enters our life, and we know the depths of those feelings. It happens so quick. And how do we explain it? How do we talk about it? How then do we begin to talk about our faith that in the midst of all of those painful experiences, there's Jesus. Jesus who broke all the rules. Jesus who was triumphant over death. And there he is, alive, present to us in ways that no matter how experienced we are, it's difficult to explain. In him, we find the vibrancy of life and a firm compassion that does not deny our suffering, but transforms and illuminates it. Friends, he is alive. Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Jesus changes everything. And not just on one day when the church is all full. You can barely find a seat. But every day. This is why the church continues to celebrate Easter. I'm not just making all this stuff up, I promise. The church continues to celebrate Easter up until Pentecost at the end of May. So this morning, we have an opportunity to celebrate that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And so we do that this morning by sharing the peace of Christ with one another and engaging the prayer stations that are set up around the sanctuary. In just a moment, Adrian will begin playing the organ. You are invited, as you are comfortable and as you are able, to prayerfully visit one or more of the prayer stations set up in the sanctuary. There will be greeters there to help you if anything needs explanation or you just need a welcoming face to help participate. Again, you're also invited to just remain seated. We will interact with these prayer stations for about 10 or 15 minutes. You'll know that the prayer time has finished because you'll hear that familiar song again, the opening hymn that Jesus Christ has risen and all the alleluias that go with it. So I invite you now, as the organ begins to play, to discover the way that Christ is risen.
Christ has risen indeed.
Thank you.
as folks finish at the prayer station where they are engaged in prayer, we also lift to God those experiences of resurrection we have in our everyday lives, the joys, the challenges, the blessings, the doubts. We bring all those to God in prayer. As the ushers come around, they have a microphone, and if you are comfortable doing so and would like to, please raise your hand to share one of those prayers of joy, prayers of concern. Anyone have any prayer requests this morning? You've got one up front, one down. You can go either way you want.
Sue Mancini, I'd like prayers for a young lady, and her name is Sarah. She is a relative of my daughter, but only through her husband. She is 20 years old. She has a brain tumor. She's had to take a medical leave from college, and twice her family has been told she will not make it through the night. They are still trying to diagnose what kind of surgery she will need on her head to find out actually what it is, and she is not responding to treatments. She lives in Birmingham, Alabama. Her name is Sarah, and she's only 20 years old. And 3 weeks ago, she was walking, and now she is not. Thank you.
Prayers for Sarah. Any other prayers? One there, one over here.
Good morning. Jean Sclair. I would like prayers for the Hughes family, Mary and her family, and the passing of Jack has been quite tragic. So anyway, hope you pray for them. They need it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Prayers for the family of Jack Hughes, whose life we will celebrate this afternoon here at GPC at 2 p.m. So please continue prayers for Mary and the family.
Hi, Cam Mossweaver. I would like to offer prayers for the principal of our school. She's had to take a long-term medical leave. Any of the women who've come over for the teddy bears know that she's just a dynamic ball of fire, and that energy has left her, and we just pray that she can have a complete recovery. Thank you.
Anyone else? Also prayers for Vi McMahon, who is in the hospital this week, and also prayers that are printed in the back of your bulletin. For those in our community asking for prayer. Holy God of resurrection, we gather this morning as a community of believers. We come with joy to greet one another and to tell again and again the amazing news that Christ is risen. Love is victorious over death. You have given us new life in the name of your Son. May our singing, our praying, our listening and proclaiming continue to be a testimony to the power of your love to make us a new creation as a community of faith. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We continue our time of worship with the morning offering.
Thank you.
Holy One, sometimes we come to you with hands full and hearts open. Sometimes we come to you with pockets empty and hopes low. However, we bring our gifts today, and we ask you to bless them and bless us. Use us and use this church to make the living Christ known in this community and the world. Amen.
This place as joyful Easter people, that there is new life, promises of transformation, and the grace of Jesus Christ all around us, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.